The Church Media Podcast, episode number 49, Social Media Strategies with Daryl Girardier. Let's do it.
Hey there. Welcome to the Church Media Podcast.
The definitive podcast for creating dynamic experiences and building solid production teams at your church.
Video, audio, lighting, stage design, volunteer culture, and more.
You can find the show notes for this episode at 1230media.com/podcast.
And now, broadcasting from the heart of the South, here's your host, Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
Welcome to episode number 49 of the Church Media Podcast. I'm Carl Barnhill, your host. Thank you so much for listening this week. This is the definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media production teams at your church. This week, I welcome on the show Daryl Girardier. Daryl is the Digital Strategy Director at Brentwood Baptist Church. He is a social media guy, and I can't wait to share my interview with Daryl with you in just a minute. First, I want to let you know about some exciting changes to the podcast starting next week. Next week's episode of the show will be our 50th episode. You're going to hear a few different things. We're going to change up the format and the sound of the show just a little bit. Also have a very special guest for our 50th show. I'm a child of the 80s, and if you were like me, you watched the sketch comedy show Saturday Night Live back in the day, when the cast consisted of guys like Dana Carvey, Adam Sandler, Dennis Miller, Phil Hartman, David Spade, and others. If you want to know some behind-the-scenes stories of a Christian who was a member of the cast at the time, next week you're in for a treat. Victoria Jackson, who was on the show from 1986 to 1992, will be my guest next week. We'll be talking about the struggles of being a Christian in Hollywood. And you may be on a church staff in a bubble of Christians. Well, Victoria will give us some insight into what it's like being a believer in the very harsh culture of TV and film production. We'll also talk about what it's like to create experiences for lost people and opportunities that she's had to share the gospel with others. You don't want to miss it. That's next week on our special edition 50th episode of the podcast. Be sure to check that out. All right, now to my interview with social media strategist Daryl Girardier. Daryl and I talked about his past role at Lifeway and his current position as the Digital Strategy Director at Brentwood Baptist Church in Brentwood, Tennessee. I also asked him about some of the most common questions he gets on his podcast, the Ask Daryl podcast, and what he feels about the future of social media and the church. Here's my full exclusive interview with Daryl. I'll be back in just a bit to wrap things up. Check this out.
This is an exclusive interview from 1230 Media and Carl Barnhill. Get shareable content and free resources for your team at 1230media.com/podcast. Here's Carl now.
My guest today is Daryl Girardier. Daryl is the Digital Strategy Director for Brentwood Baptist Church in Brentwood, Tennessee. He's the former creative director at Lifeway Christian Resources. He had the privilege of leading a creative content team for about 30 different events with over 400,000 annual attendees spanning all age groups. He worked for Lifeway from 2001 to 2013, where he left to begin his role at Brentwood. Daryl and I have worked together on some original content in the past and have run in some of the same circles. He hosts the Ask Daryl podcast, where he answers questions about social media, church communications, and technology. Daryl, welcome, man. Hope I didn't butcher your last name too much, man.
Dude, don't sweat it, Carl. No, you didn't. No, you hit it on the head, dude, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here, man. Now, tell me about your foray into where you are now, your role at Lifeway, and journey to get to Brentwood. Talk me through that.
So, as you said, I was been working at Lifeway for like 12 years and started my role at Lifeway and working in the event area and eventually worked my way up from running all of creative for all of Lifeway's events, which was a pretty wide span of age groups and people groups. And then my last stint there was I took over creative for all of media. So basically any video you saw that came out as a resource, the team that I ran, the creative team, oversaw that. So it was a really wonderful experience. They were really good people to work with. But as my time was there was was going on, I began a sense of uneasiness of what I thought the company was going to go through and what I thought every major organization was going to go through. And it just happened to be the web. And I saw the pieces coming together. And it really hit me when I saw YouTube. When the first time I laid my eyes on YouTube back, I think I want to say it was like maybe 2006, 2007, I saw and I immediately thought, wow, we've just given the tools to a kid in the garage to kind of basically put us out of business. And so that kind of made me really kind of reassess what the future is going to look like. At the same time, I was having an ongoing conversation with my pastor. We were meeting probably about two or three times a year where we sit down and have lunch and just kind of talk through what the future looked like of technology, communications, the church, how's all this playing in together, how's culture playing into this. And so that was an ongoing conversation. We started probably 2007, 2008. So we had this good long history. And so when the opportunity came for Brentwood to kind of take the next step in developing a digital presence, you know, I kind of came in and stepped into that role. So it's been fun. I've been doing it since 2013, and it's fast-paced. It's fun. I enjoy it, and I enjoy the people I get to work with.
Very cool. Now, what all do you do for Brentwood? Not like in ministry, we have a normal week, but what does a normal week look like for you?
Okay, so I oversee three different areas. I oversee the digital, I oversee the video post-production, and I also oversee design. So a week for me will look like this. Monday and Tuesday are really spent primarily on cranking out two things, actually taking what happened from that Sunday, figuring out how we're going to put it on social media, working with our social media manager, Katie Allred. She handles a lot of that, but we're focusing on cleaning up from last Sunday. And then I'm in full production mode, really Monday, Tuesday, on getting stuff ready for next Sunday or maybe two or three down the road. Then come Wednesday, Thursday, I kind of shift gears. I try to hold off meetings on Wednesday and Thursday. And Wednesday and Thursday, for me, are more planning about our 90 days to 120 days out type of things we got going on, long-term initiatives we're thinking about doing. So that's Monday through Thursday, if you will. Sunday, I actually run the online worship for the church. So I'm actually in the chat room chatting with people, hanging out with them and running the online worship service, which I enjoy doing because it gives me a – it's one of the things I know I need to do is just remain connected to our audience and see firsthand what they're seeing and experience it for myself. So that's kind of a big, broad overview. Again, like Sunday is online worship. Monday, Tuesday is where I get, to be honest with you, I'm kind of getting down into to tactics, if you will. And then Wednesday and Thursday is more thinking high-level strategy. I try to keep Wednesday and Thursday more high-level because at that point, I'm probably burned out from trying to figure out, you know, what's the best time to tweet.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, tell me how your team is structured. Now, do you have your hand in both the communication side and the production side going in, or tell me how your team is structured?
So the way our whole entire communications department is structured is we have a marketing department, we have a media department, and then we have the creative/digital. And so I run the creative/digital. So my hands are really in design of every element you see from sermon artwork to brochures, that kind of thing is where the design lands. Video is really what I really have a hand in, is mostly post-production. So in other words, we have a story to go tell. My team is the team to go figure out how to capture the story, make that story happen, and turn around and hand it over to the media team. And the media team will then actually be the team that actually runs the worship service on Sunday morning.
Got it. So separate group is doing live production, execution,
yeah,
that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Got it.
And I love them for that because I wouldn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. And then the digital side is we have a web engineer who actually builds everything out for us. In terms of the website, that kind of thing. And then I have a social media content manager, web content manager, Katie Allred, who really kind of gets down in the weeds. She's the one who actually is doing the actual helps us with content creation, managing the content creation, and basically managing the online community, the social community that we have as a church.
Got you. Now, get me into, in addition to your role at the church, you do some side stuff, blogging and podcasts and that sort of thing. Tell me how you got into that and about your podcast a little bit.
Yeah, so one of the things I encourage our ministers to do was, you know, I really feel strongly that they need to be blogging or need some sort of digital presence. And partly is because I think it's really healthy there for them to work out ideas online and to flesh stuff out and to get feedback. Versus being, you know, and I'm not saying our ministers are naturally inclined to be like ivory tower where they just kind of go off and read a book and then come down from the mountaintop and say, this is what we're going to do. But I think the idea of you need to work your ideas out online. And I think blogging for me is one of the easiest ways to do that. So I first started a blog and with the idea of going, okay, I'm just going to tell you what I'm learning as I'm going on in this job. And then as I kind of progressed, I started getting more questions. And I thought, I like writing and writing's great, but I am really good at butchering the English language. So I bet you a podcast might be a little easier. So I wanted to create a podcast where basically I take all the questions that I get on a weekly and monthly basis from people from my blog and basically kind of create a catalog of answers to these questions. So that was really the intent was, hey, here's just the other day, somebody asked me a question. I thought, well, here, let me give you this podcast episode that answers your question. I do that one, as obviously I said before, as a catalog of answers. But the other thing I do is because personality wise, I am a very abstract person. I'm not very concrete. This forces me to be concrete. This forced me to actually get down to tactical, like this is how you do X. And so, for me, it's one of the things that keeps you intellectually honest with people and with what I do. And it, honestly, the other thing is it forces me to stay up to date and not be lax. Like, because, you know, what we're doing here, when you're dealing with ones and zeros, when you're dealing with code, when you're dealing with social media and church communications, that stuff is changing so rapidly. So it's an exciting thing I like to do, and this is one way to keep myself honest. So I've started doing the podcast. I take questions. I try to keep it super short. I try to keep them under 13, 14 minutes because I want to get in, give you your answer, and then get out. And that way you can kind of pick and choose which episode, like, okay, I need to learn about that. So I'm going to give you an answer in about 10, hopefully 10 minutes or less, sometimes a little bit longer than that. And, it's been fun. I enjoy it.
So do you get most of your questions from your own church staff or other churches or both? And what are some of the common stuff that you get?
Okay, so majority of my questions actually come from twofold. It comes from Twitter, or actually comes from our church communications group, and I just cherry pick questions from that. And that this church communications Facebook group is a group that we started, that Katie and I started, solely designed for the idea of church communicators just getting together, hanging out, and sharing ideas. So it started on a thing like, let's just see if we can get a couple hundred people together. You know, that'd be great. And then now we're up to probably 1,600, 1,700 people in about 3 or 4 months. So it kind of exploded, which Katie and I were really super glad. So if you're listening and you're wanting to get together with people who are in church communications, I suggest you go do that. And Carl, I'll send you the link. You can post it in the show notes or wherever you'd like. So that's where I'm pulling a lot of those questions from. The most common questions I get are kind of divided in two categories. I either get like really tactical questions, and the two most common that I can tell you I usually get are, should my church have multiple Facebook pages? Because a lot of churches are experiencing this, because I find majority of churches, Facebook is still the primary driver of the social media. And every single ministry inside of a church wants to have their own Facebook page because they want to control their own channel. Right. So I get a lot of them saying, should I do that? And I'm always like, you know, it depends. You know, you can do that if they're willing to go ahead and create enough content to keep those channels flowing. So again, it depends on the church, your size, and there's a whole lot of factors in that. The second thing is I usually get questions about social media policies. And that's because either a staff member or a church member has done something to which somebody winced and said, oh my gosh, do we have that in writing, what we're supposed to do or no, what we're not supposed to do? So I actually have a couple of blog posts on that, and it basically kind of gives you a whole list of other policies to pull from, and it's just simple examples for you to use. But I usually get those are the two like tactical questions I get. The other one I get is usually about it's a little less tactical, concrete, but I get the question of how do I convince my pastor of X, or how do I help my pastor understand about how this works in church communication world, i.e. my pastor wants a video, but he's only given me like 24 hours notice to make the video. And, you know, you get those kind of questions, which I totally sympathize with, because I've been in the situation. And a lot of times what that question really boils down to is do you have a really good communications workflow by which people know how to go in and ask something of you and your team if you're in church communications, and a process by which they know it's going to be executed. So those are kind of the three. I mean, I get Facebook groups a lot, I get social media policies, and then really I get these sort of ambiguous questions that when I start to really kind of nail down it down, you ask the question, do you have a communications workflow? Then all of a sudden people are like, not really. And then you can kind of help them work that out.
Right.
That's the tactical level. On a higher level, I've done consulting with pastors, and the questions I get from pastors are, do I need to be doing this? And they're usually referring to Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. And there's hesitancy because for a lot of them, when they signed up to do ministry, this was not part of the equation. You know, this was not 15 years ago when they walked out of whatever theological school they came from, they just wanted to preach. That's what they were called to do. And all of a sudden now somebody says, you got to tweet and you got to be on Facebook, you got to be Instagram, and you may even have to do something called Snapchat. And their question for me is on more of a philosophical level of, is this something I'm supposed to be doing? Is this part of ministry? How's this going to play? And these are all great questions to be asking. But that's what I get. I get the question of, like, should I be doing this? And I kind of walk them through, like, well, tell me how you're wired. You know, are you wired for something to do this and do this well? And don't sweat it if you're not. It's not the end of the world. So those are the kind of the questions I get. But you know what? I mean, it just depends on the day. Sometimes I get some really strange questions, and, you know, that's one of the reasons why I enjoy it, because it's a wide variety of people and, you know, questions across the board.
All right, so that was some of the questions that you get. Now I'm going to rapid fire you, and you give me some of the answers that you give.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so how do you run social media on a tight budget?
You look for nonprofit discounts in everything you can find. Everything has a nonprofit discount. You just got to find the right person in the company that your social media service that you're using. So if you're using Buffer, Hootsuite, whatever you're using, just keep asking. She's a nonprofit, and usually you'll get half off of everything. So I tell people, never pay full price for anything that you use on social media, because there's a discount somewhere there to be found. We've never paid full price for anything. So always hunt for the bargain bottom price, and use your church nonprofit status as much as you possibly can.
All right. So you mentioned Hootsuite. I'm going to ask you this one: Hootsuite, yeah, or Buffer or another scheduling app? Which one's the best?
Okay. So that depends on your use case scenario. There are three really ones you can use. There's Sprout Social, there's Hootsuite, and Buffer, as you just mentioned. I will tell you, I'm a little partial to Hootsuite just because I think it's a little bit better in terms of analytics and interface. They give you a little more of a better calendar option. I know Buffer is working on that. Aesthetically speaking, I like Buffer the best. However, I have friends who swear by Sprout Social, who think it's just the best thing. So that to me is a little bit more like a standard, like CRM, client management type of deal. It's a little more on the enterprise side. So I would tell you, if it's me, I'm going to use Hootsuite.
Hmm. That's maybe more of a preference as well.
Yeah,
whether you like the interface the best and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So when's the best time to post on social media?
It really depends on the network and your audience. I will tell people, general good rule of thumb is I like to hit between 7 and 9 in the morning and 7 and 9 at night. 7 and 9 at night, or even they used to 8 to 10 at night during the TV hour. You know, used to be the golden hour of television, like that. Those time zones when people used to sit around the TV. Those are usually pretty good times when people are detached from work, and if they've got the TV on or they're surfing the internet, they probably have their phone in their hand. So that's usually the weekday. Weekend is a little tricky. I found weekend can really depend on the season of the year. If you live in the Southeast U.S., you can feel my pain when I tell you, you don't tweet on Saturday because it's SEC football. Like, don't put a major message out during if Alabama or Auburn are playing, if you're in the state of Alabama. You can do that. You can try it. Go for it. But I have a feeling your friends are not going to be really caring about that right now at that moment. So I think it depends. It really does depend. The research is showing it's all across the board. Some research shows that, honestly, you can do it during midday because companies are getting a little more lax about people checking social media throughout the day. I think as we get as we as uh, as more and more millennials and then Gen Z people enter the workplace, I think you're going to see it's going to be one of those things where it's going to happen more throughout the actual workday.
How many posts should you post on a given network? So how many on Facebook, how many on Twitter, that sort of thing?
Okay. So I think Twitter, you can post as, you know, I don't think there's a limit. I mean, I would say you could easily do 5 to 7 with no problems, spaced throughout the day, and it's and rework the same content. I don't think Twitter is a network where people pop in and pop out. They don't spend 2 hours just going through Twitter. You really don't. Now, you do that on Facebook. Facebook people camp out for hours. They do deep dives into subjects and the people, and they just look at photos for hours and hours on end. I typically like to keep Facebook to like 2 to 3 posts a day, tops. I don't want to flood the Facebook news feed with too much content because I don't want with Facebook's algorithm, I don't want to flood that too much with too much content. You know, and I will tell you that my opinion on that's changed a little bit. I used to be like one post, and Katie has convinced me that we should do 2 to 3, and she's probably actually started doing more than that. So I would tell you probably get away with 3 to 4. I would say Instagram is the same way. Instagram, you can do 2 to 3. What's going to be interesting, though, I'll tell you this, with Instagram in the next few weeks when they are going to update the algorithm on your Instagram app. So when you open up, you won't see the newest post. You'll see the most relevant post to you. So I think that's going to change a little bit of that. And then if you're talking Snapchat, upload as much as you want. Go to town because it's so instantaneous. And so it's really throwaway disposable content. I don't really think you can ever do that too much.
Hmm. All right. What should your church be paying for graphic design?
I think it depends on how much you value graphic design. And what I mean by that is how important is this piece to you from a long-term perspective? One of the results of capitalism, and I mean this in the beauty of capitalism, is that we have found a way for you to go online and buy design at a super cheap price, because that's just what the market now does. You can use companies like 99 Design to have your website designed or your logo designed. And so you should pay what the value is to you. My caution for any of these services is very simple. You want to build a relationship with a designer who knows you, because what a good designer is going to do is a good designer is going to solve your visual problem. They're going to solve your problem visually with some sort of solution, and they can only do that if they get to know you well. So you should pay what you think it's worth to you. If your church logo and your church brand, you know, that's not something you do lightly. That's something you really, you're going to pay a little bit. And then again, it all depends on the market where you live, but you should pay what's worth to you, not just whatever is the cheapest thing at that moment.
So what do you think about churches that are maybe, you know, 700, 1,000 members, somewhere around there, that are getting into more graphic design, buying their, custom media content and bringing a graphic designer on staff? Let me play devil's advocate and give you an argument. Say I'm a church of that size and I make the argument of, why should I pay for graphic design when I can go online and, grab something for $5-$10 that I can use generically? Why should I pay hundreds of dollars for custom stuff when I can go and buy, you know, something cheap for $5 or $10 and get something that I can use for my series? Answer that for me.
I think that depends. It depends. Like, so if you're talking like sermon series, I completely get that. I really do. Because that's what I call, it's a horrible time. I call it flash and trash. You flash it a couple times and you trash it. It's never going to see the light of day, right?
Yeah.
Like your sermon artwork, you're going to show it. And the only time you're ever going to see it is when like somebody's going through the archives of your sermon podcast on your website. That I totally get.
Yeah.
I think what I'm talking about is when you're talking about stuff like website design, or logo branding, because website design, as you know, you want to hire somebody who's interfaced really well, who knows your audience and knows what's most important. Branding is the same way. But when it comes to like sermon artwork, yeah, I get it. I mean, you're looking at somebody who, my design team, I mean, we're not afraid to go in and say, man, you know, Creative Market is selling this awesome logo pack for, you know, $35 for 25 logos. Grab that and let's use that for some of our sermon artwork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so good. All right, yeah. What are some tips for effective email? Let's talk email strategy.
Yep. So you really want to, a couple things is first off, you need to make sure that if your church is sending out emails in any way, mass form, that you have some way of measuring that. And you know some basic things. And the key thing you want to know, two things are, you want to know open rate, how people are actually opening the email, and how many are actually clicking on the link that you put inside the emails if you have a call to action.
So what tool do you use? MailChimp? What do you specifically use?
We actually send out our email through our church management system, which is called Ministry Platform, but we actually run it through Mandrill, which is a product mm-hmm. of MailChimp. We're about to switch over to SendGrid because MailChimp just changed a couple of things. But both are great services. And I would tell a church, if you're starting tomorrow, use MailChimp. It's fantastic. It's very simple. You can create these beautiful newsletters and send them out. But they're going to give you your open rate. And they're going to give you your click rate and click-through rate, how many you actually clicked through and actually went to the link. You want to know those things. And then you can have a baseline to establish what to measure off of. If you want to make it an effective campaign, you need to focus on the subject line. The subject line, at the end of the day, is where it's at. In 2012, the most effective email that the Obama campaign sent out had one word in the subject line, hey. That was it, just the word hey. And what they did was they did a cool what we call A/B testing to figure out which one was going to work since small sample batches, and they figured out that subject line would work the best. What they did was versus sending Nick the weekly update from so and so and so and so, they got creative with the subject line. So your subject lines are going to need to be creative in order to get people to open them up. You don't want to manipulate. You don't want to do what we call clickbait, if you will. But you want to do things that really, when it hits somebody's inbox, that they kind of go, wow, that looks a little different. I'm going to check out what that is.
All right, so we've mentioned a few tools, MailChimp, Hootsuite, Buffer. Yeah. What are some other top tools that you use in social media?
If we go through Instagram, we use an app called Grum. It's G-R-U-M, grum.co, and that lets you schedule your Instagram all from inside your desktop. It's a really, really great tool. We use that for Instagram. My other tools, personally speaking, I use something called Post Planner. Post Planner is really good in terms of just scheduling out all my personal social media in terms of Facebook and Twitter. I'm a real big believer in Twitter lists and to manage, if you manage to follow a lot of people on Twitter. So my personal favorite is an app called Tweetbot on the iPhone. It just functions well and flows well. And actually, I use the desktop version of it as well on my Mac. The other tools I would tell you, again, like Hootsuite, we use Canva to create a lot of our graphics. Yeah. Canva is, again, going back to the how do you run social media on a tight budget, is Canva has a free option. Actually, it's Canva for Work is what it's called. It's their business version. And if you're a church, you can actually use that for free. And it lets you upload your own fonts, your logos, but it's a super lightweight version of like a Photoshop, if you will, for lack of a better term, where you can add images, text, and we use it all the time to crank out our social media graphics.
Now, you recently did a podcast on the future of social media and the church. Give me some tips here. Talk through that episode. What do you think is the future of church communications?
I think it's an interesting one in which we're at a very interesting crossroads here right now, in the fact that we are going to have this divide. We're going to have this next Generation Z come up, and that Generation Z is anybody born after 1995. So I'm not talking about millennials. I'm talking about the generation after them, where they, on average, use about 5 screens at a time. They have about an 8-second attention span. So with that comes a whole new set of issues and challenges by which you're going to have to figure out how to get their attention. So for us, the future for us is going to lie in building trust and authority with individual people online. So the fact that they will in turn share the content, which I think will help break through that part of that attention barrier. What we're doing, a lot of churches doing, and what I see even we ourselves are guilty of, is we're quickly following certain fads, like, say, for instance, like online online church, online campuses, and I don't want to call them a fad to demean what anybody has done or what they currently are doing, but we're such the early stages, we don't really know what we're doing. If you look at, like, say, for instance, like online education, a majority of people who sign up for an online education course don't complete it. I think it's like 98% of people drop out from online education courses. It's a really, really high. And I think online churches are a little bit like that. And since, in fact, we have people doing it, but we're not sure exactly why. I think it's such an early stage. So the future of us from a church communication standpoint is really asking the questions is what do we really want this thing to do? Do we really want somebody to only attend church online? And what does that look like? I think those are things that I think we're wrestling with. I think the other thing, philosophically speaking, where church communications lies is that what really good church communication staff are going to have to do is they're going to have to be able to look into the future and almost be and look in the future and see literally 2 or 3 years down the road where things are headed and help be the tour guide, if you will, for the pastor to say, this is what the future is going to look like. Let me help you prepare for the future. You know, a really good pastor is one who can take scripture that was written over 2,000 years ago and bring it to life for the congregation. I think a really good church communications staffer is somebody who can look in and look out into the future and kind of see the trends and where they're headed and bring them to the present and say, here's where we're going. Let's figure out how we can get there. You know, do you teach your pastor how to tweet? Do you teach them how to do things in 140 characters, you know, those type of things. But even further on down the future, what is that going to look like for us? So I think the communication is it's bright, but it's bright for those who are honest with themselves and honest with the challenges that lie ahead.
So let me ask you one more question related to this, and that is, how do I approach my pastor? What is the best way without sounding demeaning or, hey, you really need to be doing this? What's the best approach, approach?
So I think here's the deal. For a lot of pastors, and I get this, is they feel like this is one more thing out of their plate, which I think is a completely, totally valid feeling. It's completely valid. As somebody who's married to a minister, my wife is a minister, I see what her daily plate is like. You know, I see the number of hospital visits she's got to go do, all those things. So I completely get that. I also get the feeling of there's a sense of nervousness of, like, if I do these things, if I go online and all of a sudden I start participating in this conversation, what happens when I make a mistake? And I just, you goofed up for whatever reason it may be. And those are all valid fears. And it makes sense if somebody wants to try to figure out and flush that out. I would simply say, look, why don't we just run a test? Why don't we just do something really simple and find ways to give your pastor an early win? So maybe that's Twitter. And maybe that's simply like, hey, how about we just do a live Q&A one time? And you host it. And you post the questions on the Twitter or even on the church Facebook page and say, we're doing a live Facebook Q&A right now with the pastor, and people can post. You post it on the church Facebook page and people can ask questions, and the pastor can respond. The other thing you can do is you can help your pastor out by maybe running some of the stuff for them at first. Like, take their sermon and break it into some tweets and simply post it from their account. They said it, so it's not like it's not like you're forging content, if you will. But kind of let them show, okay, this is how it can be done. So give them small wins. Don't expect them to jump into the deep end of the pool. Give them small wins, encourage them along the way, but at the same time, allow them just to not feel comfortable with it, and then say, that's okay. It's not for everybody. I think this is where we'll get a little bit. Some of my friends who are in the digital sphere get a little bit like, you have to do this. And while I do think it's important, I don't want to force anybody to be something that they're not, because as you know, when you get online and you try to be something you're not, eventually you get found out, and that doesn't end well.
Right. Well, man, thank you so much for hanging out. I really appreciate your time and coming on and chatting with me today, man. Tell us where we can find you online. How can we keep up with you and follow you?
Okay, easiest way to follow me online is just go to Twitter. That's where I spend majority of my time. I'm DGIRARDIER on Twitter. That's DGIRARDIER on Twitter. Or you can go to the podcast. If you go to Ask Daryl, that's ASKD darrel.com. Just go to askdarrel.com, and that'll take you directly to the podcast page. So, yeah, those are the two easiest places to find me, man.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Carl. Appreciate it, man.
At 1230 Media, we help you create experiences where people meet Jesus and grow in their relationship with Him. We offer custom media. This is content designed specifically for your church or ministry. We produce custom sermon bumpers, countdowns, promotional videos, motions, song support and lyric videos, pre-service announcement loops, and more. We offer a la carte pricing as well as package pricing on all of our custom media content to fit any budget. You don't have to have a full design team on staff to create stunning media content. We've got you covered. Partnering with you to see people meet Jesus and grow in their relationship with Him. 1230 Media. Create the experience.
Well, that's it for us this week. I want to thank my guest today, Darrel Gerardier. Again, to follow Darrel, you can find him on Twitter at DGerardier. That's DGirardier. And if you have trouble spelling that, it's on the show notes page for this episode, 1230media.com/podcast, episode number 49. Or you can visit him online at askdarrel.com for his blog, podcast, free social media resources, and more. That's askdarrel.com. I'll put links to all this on the show notes page again for this episode. Simply go to 1230media.com/podcast, click on episode number 49, and all these links and resources are just a click away. Next week on the show, our special edition 50th episode with very special guest, former Saturday Night Live cast member Victoria Jackson. She'll be here to talk about her time on SNL, joining the Tea Party movement, and her advice to church media peeps like us. You don't want to miss that. I've gotten to know Victoria over the last few years at the NRB, and she is a trip. You're going to love her. I had about a 45-minute interview with her, and that was just a real treat. I can't wait to share it with you. That's next week on the show. As always, I want to thank my producer, David Michael Hyde. David is a contemporary composer and music producer for film and digital media. If you dare, go to davidmichaelhyde.com to find him. Let me just tell you guys this. If you're a church and you produce and edit your own video content and you're looking for an affordable custom music score, this is the guy to get. He's very affordable, and he'll make stuff custom just for your church. He produces our podcast, he writes and composes music for our custom video projects at 1230, and he's a great guy. He's a solid believer and just a very talented artist. DavidMichaelHyde.com. Check him out. Thanks for listening this week. We would love it if you took a minute today and rated and reviewed our podcast in iTunes. It helps us in the search and ratings database so that more and more churches, church media staff and volunteers can get our content absolutely free. We give most of our content away for free. So take a minute and do that today if you would. Go to iTunes, just search for the Church Media Podcast, leave a review and a rating there in iTunes if you would. Also, welcome your ideas and topics for future episodes of the show. Feel free to email me directly at carl@1230media.com for that. Go out there, guys, and create some incredible experiences this Sunday. I'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Church Media Podcast. Get the show notes for today's episode at 1230media.com/podcast. And be sure to rate and review this podcast in iTunes. For more free church media resources, visit 1230media.com. We'll see you right here next week for another episode of the Church Media Podcast.